Let's pray together. Father, we are so thankful for your great love. Your love that was demonstrated towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It was out of your great love that you sent Christ to this world to die for our sins and to be resurrected, Father, to give us hope that is eternal. Father, at this time of worship, as we consider the truth of your word, as we hear your word proclaimed, I pray that you would speak to us, Lord. We believe that this is your holy word that you've given to us, that your Spirit so long ago inspired this word. And we pray now that your same Spirit would illuminate to us the truth of who Jesus is this morning. It's in Christ's holy, precious name we pray. Amen. Hope you take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is one of the most definitive passages in all of the New Testament on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you're turning there, I wanted to share with you something I read over the last couple of weeks in anticipation for Easter. There's a pastor who's with the Lord now, Tim Keller. He pastored Redeemer Presbyterian Church there in New York City for many decades, and he wrote a book on the resurrection. And in the beginning of this book, he says this: many Christians, while believing in the resurrection and rehearsing that belief every Easter Sunday, then effectively stick it back into the drawer for the rest of the year because they are at a loss of what to do with it. What's he mean by that? That oftentimes we only think about the risen Savior, the fact of the resurrection, and the implications for our lives around this time of the year. Here's the thing. Here's the truth. Christ is risen. He is alive forevermore, not just on Easter Sunday, but every day, which means that the resurrection matters, and it matters to our Christian lives. And so this morning, I want us to see, what is the significance of the resurrection? What would it mean for our faith? What would it mean for the gospel if Christ had not been risen, or if he had not been raised 2,000 years ago? If he had remained dead in the ground, or if they had found his body, or if they had stolen his body? What would happen if Jesus had truly not been resurrected? And that's what Paul teaches us here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the significance of the resurrection, why it actually matters for believers, for you and for me. So I'm going to ask if you would stand with me, and we're going to begin reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 12. Paul writes this: now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain. Your faith also is vain. Moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God, because we testified against God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. Let's pray. Father, again, we humbly ask that you help us. Help us to see the significance of Christ's resurrection today, Lord. Help us to see this glorious truth that gives us hope for today and for all of eternity. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Here's what's going on in this passage And Paul will later in the rest of 1 Corinthians explain more what he's dealing with there in Corinth. There were some believers there in Corinth who doubted the future resurrection of people. In that culture, they believed in the spirit and that the body really was like a prison. And you were trying to escape from your body. So they had nothing to do with a future resurrection of all people. And so Paul is helping them to see that, well, if that future resurrection doesn't happen, it means that Christ himself has not been raised. He has not resurrected if there's no future resurrection of believers. And so this is his argument here. And he's going to give us six implications, six things that would happen if Christ had not been raised. It begins there in verse 13. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And here's the heart of what he's teaching. If Christ had not been raised, number one, then our preaching is vain. Here, what he means vain, he also says in just a moment, your faith is vain. It's empty. It's worthless. There's no value to it. It's without power and without substance. This is what he means by vain. There's nothing to it. If Christ has not been raised, then preaching is vain. You think about the preaching throughout the New Testament. Think about the book of Acts where the apostles, Peter and John and Paul are out there proclaiming in the power of the Spirit that Christ has died and has been resurrected. They're preaching the substance of the gospel, the content of what Christ has done for us. And Paul is saying, if the resurrection didn't happen, if Christ has not been raised, then all of that preaching is in vain. Think about all the great preachers throughout the last 2,000 years. Martin Luther and George Whitefield, Charles Spurgeon, Martin Lloyd-Jones, Billy Graham. If Christ had not been raised, all of those sermons, all of those hundreds and thousands of hours of study, all of those prayers offered up are in vain. They're worthless. If Christ has not been raised, if Christ has not been raised, then what I am doing right now has no value. We might as well shut our Bibles, pack it up, and go to the lake, because if Christ has not been raised, this is in vain. This is pointless. Second, Paul says, if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is empty. Your faith is in vain. He says that in verse 14. Your faith also is in vain. Many people have faith in many things. They put their hope and their trust in something. They put their hope and trust in money, that money will make them happy. Their money will make them secure. They put faith in a job. Unfortunately, people put faith in the government. People put faith in other people, and people always let them down. Here, Paul is talking about a firm, established faith in something, in the Lord Jesus Christ, in his life, in his death, in his resurrection. But he says, if Christ has not been raised, then you have no foundation for your faith. The rug is being pulled out from under you if Christ has not been raised. There's no gospel. There's no hope for the believer. There's nothing to trust in. It means the song that we sang earlier, we can no longer sing. That crown him the Lord of life, who triumphed over the grave, who rose victoriously in the strife for those he came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die. That brings us great comfort. But if Christ has not been raised, then those words are useless. They're false. They are in vain. And we sing them in vain if Christ has not been raised. Third, Paul moves on and he says in verse 15, moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God. And so if Christ has not been raised, our preaching's in vain. Our faith's in vain. Here's another thing. If Christ has not been raised, then we can no longer trust our Bibles. That's what Paul says here. That those who are the apostles here, the leaders of this early church, they are false witnesses of God because we have testified against God that he has raised Christ. in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul tells us that the church is built on the foundation of the prophets and the apostles. What he means by that is on their message, on what they have proclaimed, on the truth of what God has revealed to us. And what is the Bible other than the revealed truth of God? And in the words of the scriptures have been recorded in the New Testament, the fact that Christ has been raised. But Paul is saying this, if Christ has not been raised, then the whole New Testament is nothing but lies. And you can't trust your Bible. And there's no point in reading your Bible. There's no point in studying and poring over your Bible. There's no point in preaching the Bible if Christ has not been raised. We can no longer affirm with the Apostle Paul that all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching and reproof and correction and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate and equipped for every good work. If Christ has not been raised, then that is no longer true. This becomes just another book in the millions of books that has been published throughout the history of the world. If Christ has not been raised, it means that we bear false witness to God when we say we affirm the truth of the Bible. Fourth, Paul says something else. That if Christ has not been raised, then we are still in our sins. Look there at the end of verse 15, or verse 16 and 17. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless, and you are still in your sins. He's saying it took more than just the death of Christ to save us. It was more than just Jesus shedding his blood on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. The death and the resurrection of Christ go hand in hand. And if there is no resurrection, then the death of Christ accomplished nothing. It means that we are still spiritually dead in our sins. It means that you and I are still guilty to a holy God. And we have a debt to pay to a holy God that you and I can never pay. It means that God's holy wrath towards sin is still upon us, that Christ did not bear that wrath that day on Calvary. This past Friday, we had a Good Friday service where we reflected upon the cross of the Lord Jesus. And I preached a shorter sermon. This sermon's not going to be shorter this morning. But I preached a shorter sermon Friday night out of one verse, Ephesians 1:7. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. That verse no longer matters if Christ has not been raised, because you and I still bear the weight of our sin. We can no longer sing, "Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe." Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. That is no longer true if Christ has not been raised. Paul gives us another implication. He says that if Christ has not been raised, then we have no hope for believers who die in Christ. Look at verse 18. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. That right there. All of these verses are hard to swallow, but that one really hits home. And you think about it. It hits home for this church family, who in the last 4.5 months have buried 4 beloved members of this congregation who have been members of this church for decades. And if Christ has not been raised, then those who have fallen asleep in Christ, that's it. There's no hope after the grave. There's no hope in death for believers if Christ has not been raised. Paul writes this in 1 Thessalonians 4. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep. That's the New Testament way of talking about believers who have died. So that you will not grieve as the rest do who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Even so, God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. And then later in that passage, he tells us, comfort one another with these words. Listen, there is no comforting one another if Christ has not been raised. It means when you die, that's it. You've perished. There's no hope. It means Jesus' words in John 11, 25 and 26 are false, where Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. If Christ has not been raised, then these words of the Lord Jesus in John 11 are not true. And there's no hope. And that day when he was comforting Martha and Mary about their brother Lazarus, Jesus was telling lies if he did not raise from the dead. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the end of this chapter, in verse 54, Paul says this, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. If Christ has not been raised, then there is no victory in death. There's no hope for anyone who dies in Christ if Christ had remained dead. And then in verse 19, Paul gives us one final implication. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. What does Paul mean by this? He's saying that if we've trusted in Christ and it was only for this life, then the life of the believer, we should pity our lives. Just think about two implications, two ways to think about that. Think about our persecuted brothers and sisters around the world throughout the history of the church. Think about the lives that they've lived, lives in fear. There's brothers and sisters right now around the world that are worshiping the Lord in secret for the fear of their lives, fear of persecution and arrest and being imprisoned and beaten. There are countless numbers of believers throughout the history of the church that have been persecuted and arrested and beaten for the sake of the gospel, who have lost their lives. Revelation 12 says, they did not love their life even when faced with death. They gave up their lives for the sake of Christ. But here's the thing. If Christ did not rise from the dead 2,000 years ago, then they were persecuted and martyred for a lie. And they ought to be pitied. Brothers and sisters around the world today being persecuted, facing martyrdom, ought to be pitied because they are living for a lie. And then you have another thought. Paul says, if we're living of this life, or if we've hoped in Christ in this life only, you think about what Jesus tells believers to do. Don't just hope in this life. Store up your treasures in heaven and not on earth. This is not your home. You're citizens of heaven. You're passing through. You're pilgrims. And so stop trying to make this place your home. Stop trying to earn everything that the world has to offer unless Christ has not been raised. Paul says here in verse 32, if the dead are not raised, if Christ has not been raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Paul is saying, if Christ has not been raised, then give up the Christian life and live for the world. Go and stop going to church, stop giving your money to the church, stop trying to live holy lives, and just live it up, because tomorrow you die, because there's no hope. It doesn't matter is what Paul is saying. This is not the Easter sermon y'all are probably expecting this morning, being so down, but look at verse 20. But now Christ has been raised. But now Christ has been raised. That's the good news of the gospel. That's the hope that we have. And therefore, because Christ has been raised, let's walk back through some of those things that we just saw. Go back to verse 14. Because or since Christ has been raised, our preaching actually has value. The content of the gospel message is true. There is something to preach. Every Sunday morning, every gathering of the saints around the world, there is always something to preach. Why? Because Christ has been raised from the dead. Since Christ has been raised, we can have confidence in our preaching. That when I preach week after week after week, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, not in my own power, but in the demonstration of the Spirit, I can go home and sleep tonight knowing that God's word was proclaimed and that God's word will not return void. Why? Because Christ is alive, and preaching has power and preaching has value. And I'm thankful that some of you who are not normal members of our church are here this morning. And if you are not in a local church family, let me encourage you. If you believe in the death and the resurrection of Christ, you need to be in a gospel-centered preaching church that honors the Word of God, that honors Christ and His worship. If you truly believe that Christ has died and been raised back to life, then that ought to be what you do every Sunday, is to be under the preaching of God's word by a man of God. So preaching has value. We have confidence. Second, because Christ has been raised, there in 14, we have confidence in our faith. We have hope in our faith. It's not in vain. It's not worthless. There is value in believing in Christ because of what He's accomplished for us, because of His life, because of His death, because of His resurrection. That's the object of our faith. That's what we believe in. Look at verse 3 of chapter 15. Paul writes this: "For I deliver to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." Here, Paul is speaking of what is of first importance, the gospel. That's our hope. That's the object of our faith, of what Christ has done, who He is, and what He's done. And Paul is saying that our faith, there's substance. There's a reality to our faith, which means we've got to stop trusting in the things of this world. We must trust in Christ alone. We must put our faith in Christ alone, since Christ has been raised from the dead. What about you this morning? What is it that you're trusting in? What are you hoping in? What are you putting your faith in this morning? There are many people who are deceived, putting their hope in their own good works. They're just a good old boy or a good old girl, thinking that they're going to make their way to heaven by being a good person. Here's the thing. Paul tells us that Christ did not die for good people. He died for ruined sinners. He died for guilty, helpless, vile sinners, is what we just sang about. He died for those who see their need for Christ, who recognize their need, and those who put their faith in Christ. That's what saves you. And that's why there's confidence, because Christ has been risen. He has been resurrected. Third, go back to verse 15. Since Christ has been raised, then we can trust our Bibles. Again, Paul said, "Moreover, we are found to be false witnesses of God, because we testified against God that He raised Christ." But here's the thing. Christ is alive forevermore. Therefore, the Word of God is a sure and steady foundation to build our lives upon. That means if you truly believe in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, then you should long for the pure milk of the Word. You should long to open this Word. There are many people, I hear people say this all the time, "I want God to speak to me." Here's how God's going to speak to you. You open up this book, and His Spirit will lead by His words. He has spoken to us. We have nothing else that we need. God has revealed everything that we need. Therefore, we trust in this Word. We trust and have confidence as we study, as we share, as we proclaim, as we are transformed by the Word of God. Christ has been risen, or has been resurrected. He is risen, so therefore we have confidence in the Word of God. Fourth, Paul continues, and again, since Christ has been raised from the dead, we have been saved from our sins. Praise the Lord. He said that here in verse 17, if Christ had not been raised, your faith is worthless and you are still in your sins. You flip that around. Since Christ has been raised, we've been set free. We have been set free from our sins. We are no longer enslaved to the slavery of sin. That Christ's death truly did cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. That when Christ died, it was for the forgiveness of our sins. It was for our pardoning. He paid the full atoning death for our sins. Paul writes in Romans chapter 4, verse 25, he who was delivered over because of our transgressions, and he was raised because of our justification. So Christ was given over because of our sin, and he was raised back to life in order for us to be declared righteous before God. In order to save us from our sins. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is God, is the acceptance of God, of his sacrifice to the Father. He has paid for our sins. It means if you are in Christ, you no longer have to bear that weight of sin or the guilt or the shame of sin. Here's a question for you. Have you experienced that? Have you experienced what it means to have your sins truly forgiven because of what Christ has done? Some of you are still trying to pay a great debt to God that you owe, and you can never pay that debt. Christ has paid that debt on behalf of sinners. Have you trusted in Him? Some of you are still experiencing the slavery of sin. You're entrapped in it. You're dead in those sins. And your life is worthless and purposeless because you have not been set free. Here is a moment of grace for you. Here is God's mercy to you to repent and believe, to trust that you can be set free from your sins and have your sins truly forgiven. So come to Him today. Believe in the Lord Jesus if you haven't today. Fifth, since Christ has been raised from the dead, we do have confidence when a believer dies. We do have hope when a believer dies. No one can avoid death. We try. We try to avoid death, but no one can avoid death. It will happen to all of us unless the Lord Jesus Christ returns. We will all die. And yet, for believers, there's hope. What does Paul say? 2 Corinthians 5:6. Therefore, being always of good courage and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. But when we die, we go to be home with the Lord. That is the hope that the gospel offers to those who trust in Him. That you can have hope even in the face of death. Not just of our deaths now, but even in the future resurrection. That's what Paul has been arguing against with these Corinthians. Some of them didn't believe in the future resurrection. When Christ comes back, that our souls that are there in heaven will be reunited with our bodies and raised to endless days. This is what Paul is saying. One of the things that I say at every Christian graveside is something that's been repeated throughout church history. I'll say that our brother or sister has taken his final breath on this earth, and today we commit his body to the ground. And then I repeat, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is hope even in the face of death. We do not have to grieve as those who do not have hope because Christ is alive. He is the resurrection and the life. I hope you believe that. I hope that matters to you. Again, our church family, many of our families here have faced the death of loved ones recently. And it's only passages like this, the truth of the scripture that we cling to in those moments, that there is hope even in the face of death. Finally, going back to verse 19, if we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. Well, Christ is alive. He has been raised from the dead. Therefore, our lives are not worthless. We do not have to pity our lives. We are called to live fully for the Lord Jesus Christ, to live for His honor and for His glory. And that's what I want us to consider as we close this morning. Are you living for the Lord Jesus? If He truly has been raised from the dead, does your life reflect that reality? Are you living for God? Do people look around you, people around you look at your life and see that's a person that has encountered a risen Savior? That's a person that knows the risen Lord Jesus. Maybe you're here this morning and you have never believed in the death and resurrection of Jesus. Maybe you think it's just a hoax. It's just something crazy, fanatical, religious people believe in. Here's the thing. It's not. Christ has been raised from the dead. Christ has been raised from the dead. This is a reality that we are staking our eternal hopes on. If you are here today and you do not believe, you have not believed, again, today is the day of salvation. Believe in the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 2, I read this at our sunrise service this morning and prayed through that passage where Paul speaks about the death and the exaltation of Jesus. About Jesus who has the name above all names, and one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That is a reality. That will happen. And here's the thing. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, either willingly or unwillingly. You will either confess and bow as your Savior or as your judge. But all people will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, the risen Lord. How will you bow before Him in that day? Some of you, many of you are believers here today, and I'm thankful for the faith that you have in Christ. But you must still ask yourself this question. How is the resurrection of Christ, the fact that Christ is risen, how does that affect my life? Is it affecting my marriage? Does it affect my kids and how I train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Does it affect the way that I work for God? Does it affect the way that I treat others and the relationships that I have? Does it reflect in the way that I share the hope of the gospel with people? Christ has been raised from the dead. Therefore, we're called to live every moment of our lives for Him. I want to ask you and encourage you not to go to bed tonight and take the doctrine of the resurrection and put it in the drawer and keep it until next year and dust it back off. Christ is risen every day. He's alive forevermore, today, tomorrow, for all of eternity. And because Christ is alive, He calls the shots in our lives. And we must humbly bow before our risen Savior and Lord. So again, let me end with this question. Does your life reflect the reality that Christ has been raised and that the resurrection actually does matter? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so thankful for the hope of the gospel. We thank You for Your Son. the one who came in power and glory, humbly to this world, to live a life that we could never live and to die the death that we deserved, and to be raised back to life victoriously. Lord, we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. And I pray that we celebrate that not just today, but every day of our Christian lives, Father, until you take us home to glory. Lord, help us to be changed by the resurrection. Help us to live lives that honor and glorify the Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray if there's someone today that has not experienced the reality of the resurrection, they haven't believed in Christ for the forgiveness of their sins and looked to a risen Savior, that you would in this moment open their eyes to the truth, draw them to yourself, and give them new life. And Father, for those who are believers, Lord, help us again each and every day to live in the power of the resurrection. It's in Christ's holy in precious name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together and sing In Christ Alone.